It's the time on the radio here in Spain where we listen to Bill Blevins from Blevins Franks. How are we today, Bill?
Very well indeed, thanks, Howard. I hope you are too.
I am indeed. It's always a busy week at this time of the year and this strange year. Yeah. What's caught your eye over the last 7 days?
But I think of more interest to our listeners, it seems that the negotiations during this last week, which is the final diarised week of negotiations concerning the Brexit withdrawal at the end of the transition period, that seems to have softened a little, both the EU side and the UK side, talking more about moving towards drafting provisional legislation, provisional terms for the withdrawal agreement. Now, to expect a sudden breakthrough is a bit more than I think we should hope for, but it certainly seemed a little more likely that they will reach an agreement than it did just a week ago. I'm certain there'll be more meetings, even though this was the last diarised meeting. The meeting of the EU Council, I think 14th, 15th of October, will put whatever terms they've come to the test at that time, and that will see whether or not we've got something we can work with. Looks a little more promising, as I said a couple of weeks ago, a fudge, which is a term I don't want to insult these negotiations with, but nonetheless, I suspect there may be an agreement coming through the pipeline at some level. Now, I think one of the other things that hit the press this week was the number of media reports about UK banks closing the accounts of British expatriates with UK bank accounts living within the European Union. It's come as a shock to many people who've got pensions that need to be paid into these accounts, who've got direct debits to meet UK expenses on property and for other things. My gut instinct is there'll be a solution to this somewhere along the line. It's now been raised in the House of Commons as an issue concerning the British expatriates living within the EU zone. But at the moment, the banks, Coutts, Lloyds, writing and other banks writing to their EU-based clients with news that they're going to close their accounts within the next few weeks. It's a rather short notice, but I think there'll be a solution at the end of the day. I certainly hope so.
Let's see. Well, today we're going to discuss the differences between UK and Spanish taxation. And we've discussed before, Bill, how people moving to Spain need to be aware of all the tax implications here. And with many new arrivals before Brexit, I think it's worth covering this in more detail. So first of all, when do you become a resident in Spain for tax purposes? Is it as soon as you arrive?
If you arrive in Spain with an indefinite intention to live there, and then you spend more than 183 days, that's one day longer than 6 months, in any particular calendar year, then you become liable, whether or not you take up formal residence, you are technically liable under Spanish law as a tax resident. Now, those 183 days don't have to be continuous. They are cumulative in any 12-month period between the 1st of January and the end of December. You're either resident or you're not resident in Spain for the whole tax year. So if you were to arrive in Spain, for example, in the middle of June, with more than 6 months to go until the end of the year, you would become tax resident for the whole of that year from the 1st of January, and therefore timing of your arrival is quite important. If you arrived, for example, in the middle of July in any calendar year and you remained continuously in Spain until the end of the year, you don't become tax resident until you've done 183 days in the following year. So timing of arrival, most important.
And what taxes are you liable for in Spain? And is the tax regime very complex?
I'd answer the second part of that question first, Howard. The complexity is enormous because it is so fundamentally different in so many respects to the way that British people will understand the tax regime of the UK, with which they would have been familiar all of their lives. It runs on a Napoleonic-style code. You will be liable for income tax, but if you think it's the same as the way the UK income tax system works, you're wrong. Capital gains tax, same comments apply. You'll also be liable, depending on where you are choosing to live, for wealth tax, and indeed also depending on where you live, because the autonomous regions of Spain have some control over these taxes, you are likely to become liable for succession tax in Spain as well. One of the difficult aspects of the last of those taxes, succession taxes, is it's not covered under the double tax treaty, and if you therefore remain technically a domicile of the UK, let's not get into that one now, you can be a domicile of the UK whilst being a resident of Spain for the whole of your time there, depending on the links you have with the UK, then you are technically liable to succession tax in Spain and inheritance tax in the UK on the same assets. There is a form of unilateral relief, but it's complicated and complex, and you don't want to be in that set of circumstances. This is an area where you positively need to take independent, objective advice from somebody who understands the tax regime of Spain and the tax regime of the United Kingdom, if that's where you came from, so that they can cohesively bring the complexities of both together in a manner in which they can plan for you to set your affairs up in a manner in which you don't pay any excess tax above that which is legally required of you.
Well, both the UK and Spain have an income tax, but does income tax in Spain work in the same way as income tax in the UK?
Well, in some respects it does, in that Spanish residents are taxed on their worldwide, what is known as general income, at progressive scale rates. The general income tax scale rates are made up of the state's tax rates and, on top of that, the regional tax rates, which are set independently by each particular autonomous community. Generally, the top combined rate of tax is around 45% for the year 2019, but it can be higher or lower in some of the communities if they've increased or reduced the community tax rates for that region. There is a separation of the tax rates applying to savings income, the income I was talking about just now on the progressive rates is for earned income, but if you have dividend income or interest income, income derived from life assurance contracts, a purchased annuity, for example, income from that, or capital gains on the sale of or the transfer of assets, those are taxed at a different rate. They are separated out. There's general income and there's savings income. The two are different, and you need to be clear on how you report your returns so that you don't fall into the trap of making a mistake and finding yourself the subject of an investigation. That's why independent and objective advice is essential in this area.
Does Spain impose a capital gain tax on both property and capital investments? And how does this compare to the UK system?
Actually, this isn't too dissimilar. In Spain, any capital gains or losses derived from the disposal of real estate assets is calculated by looking at the disposal price, the actual price that you have disposed it at. But remember, they will check that disposal price against the market value, which the tax authorities are very easy to obtain. You then take off the price of acquisition, plus all of the associated fees, and plus the cost of any improvements, and less any depreciation if that applies. Now, once you've done those calculations, and I'm perhaps expressing myself in more detail, and you could therefore probably appreciate the complexity of this, but for 2019, the gains on the transfer or sale of assets are taxed at progressive rates of 19, 21% and 23% for Spanish residents.
Some countries don't impose an inheritance tax, but both the UK and Spain do. Are they similar?
No, they're not similar in so many respects. They start with a fundamental difference that inheritance tax is payable, surprisingly enough, in the UK, by the person giving the donation. It's payable by the donor, whereas in Spain, more logically and in my view more fairly, if a transfer of wealth is made by gift or upon death, the tax in Spain on a Spanish resident falling liable for Spanish succession tax is payable by the donee, the person receiving the benefit, which, as I say, seems more logical and more fair. Remember that Spanish succession tax applies to lifetime gifts as well as inheritances. You need to make certain that you have carefully and in a very detailed fashion set your tax planning up for succession tax, and if it applies to you, and it does apply to most UK expatriates living in Spain, you may still be liable for UK inheritance tax even though you've lived in Spain for 25 years, if your connections to the UK create your domicile of the UK and it remains for the long-term future. So you can be a domicile of the UK and a resident of Spain at the same time, and as a consequence, inheritance tax is chargeable on domiciles of the UK, whereas Spanish succession tax is chargeable on residents of Spain, so that the assets falling liable for this tax can actually be subject to tax in both jurisdictions on the same assets. Now, that seems wholly unfair. So you would then apply for what's called unilateral relief. That's a negotiation with both the revenue authorities. And effectively, without making too much of a meal of it, you simply end up paying the highest level of tax in either of the two jurisdictions who can claim a charge on your assets.
And what is wealth tax?
Yeah, wealth tax is what it says. It kind of does what it says on the tin. It's unfortunate that it's become a kind of a tax football. Back in the point of the economic crisis, going back to 2008, the Spanish government approved a measure to apply a 100% tax credit against what was then the individual's wealth tax liability from the 1st of January that year. And they removed the requirement for an individual to file a wealth tax return. And so, effectively, wealth tax was abolished from the 1st of January 2008. However, it was too attractive, I think, in helping to recover the funds that were decimated by the economic crisis. So in September 2011, wealth tax was reinstated. At that point, the Spanish Exchequer considered it to be a temporary measure. That was to apply for 2011 and 2012. But without making a long story of this, it's become a temporary measure, which is still in place in 2020. It hasn't gone away. It's being continually renewed. It's not a kind tax, but it doesn't apply too severely in some of the autonomous communities. But you need to know exactly what your responsibilities are for wealth tax so that you don't slip up and end up paying a more tax or missing a tax payment that is due. In either case, that's an unpleasant experience to be in. So you need to take advice about wealth tax, because otherwise you may end up paying more. You may end up making a mistake and finding the taxman breathing down your neck.
Now for the big question, Bill. Overall, are you better off being a tax resident in Spain or in the UK?
I don't think, an absolute answer to that. But what I will say is that the tax planning opportunities which exist for investors, for savers in the UK, is fairly limited. If you want to invest in a tax-exempt savings account or an ISA, more particularly, you're limited on the amount you can put in. Now, if you want to obtain tax efficiency on your wealth and to manage that wealth, there are structures and opportunities within Spain that are considerably, significantly better than the opportunities which arise in the UK. I think, on balance, I would say that if you are a retired individual looking to optimise your wealth and to manage your wealth for the future, you're likely to get much better tax planning opportunities and thereby increasing the overall value of your wealth in Spain as opposed to the UK. Spain has some very generous tax concessions for a wide range of tax planning structures, but you need to sit down with somebody who understands the benefits and the disadvantages, if there are any, of each of them, so that you end up with the correct structure for your personal and particular circumstances.
And finally, Bill, you've highlighted many differences between taxes in Spain and the UK, and I presume this means that your tax planning has to be completely different too.
Yeah, I think it does. If you're, for example, a couple and you decide to retire in Spain for all of the benefits that brings, and they are too many to list, the simple fact is that, will you be there for the whole of the rest of your life? Will your surviving partner be there for the rest of his or her life? You need to be sitting down at the point in which you are in retirement and actually mapping out a structural arrangement that meets all of the possible circumstances, or so many of them as is sensible, and then going through that plan on an annual or biannual basis to make sure it's up to date. You need to have a structure, because if you don't have a plan, it's kind of like that old expression, Howard, in terms of tax planning, if it don't get measured, it don't get done, which essentially means that the more attention you pay to your wealth management, to your tax planning, the more likely you are to end up with increasing your wealth as opposed to increasing the coffers of the Spanish Exchequer.
Well, for our listeners on Talk Radio Europe, Bill, maybe a plan would be to get a pencil and a paper, because Blevins Franks often hold seminars in October, but I suppose they'll be difficult either way this year, Bill. What can you tell me about it? A webinar is being planned, I think.
Yeah, webinars are just one step beyond my current IT knowledge, Howard. But the truth is that we have been running seminars across our various regions. And if you want to tune in to the latest information from Blevins Franks on a whole raft of subjects concerning Brexit and UK bank accounts and that type of thing, as you say, Howard, if the listeners have a pad and a pencil handy, it would be helpful, because I've got to quote you a link to make contact with the webinar and to register your interest. We're going to be talking about legal residency, taxation, wealth management, financial planning after the UK has gone it alone. Most people want to know, where am I going to stand once the transition period is over and the UK is no longer a member of the EU? There are some very complex requirements, some very interesting opportunities, and these are going to be covered during this webinar. It's going to be chaired by Jason Porter. He's the Business Development Director at Blevins Franks, but we've got a very celebrated list of panellists. We've got Charmaine Arbouin. She's the British Consul and the Operations Manager at the Consulate. Chris McCann, who is the Senior Partner of Blevins Franks, and Philip Pigg, who's the Director of the CNP Group. They're Spanish tax consultants and lawyers. So you've got a fairly complex group of people who can answer any of your questions. If you want to register for the webinar, have your pencil at the open order, and I'll give you the address now. The link to go to is www.blevinsfranks.com. That's Blevins Franks in lowercase and one continuous word, .com, blevinsfranks.com/webinar, W-E-B-I-N-A-R, webinar-life-in-Spain. So it's www.blevinsfranks.com/webinar-life-in-Spain. If you go to that link, you can register, and there will be an opportunity then to submit questions to the panel of these experts ahead of time. And that is another link, which is webinar.questions@blevinsfranks.com. webinar.questions@blevinsfranks.com. If you've got questions, your concerns, post them on that second link. Register for the webinar, and I'm sure you'll find it of enormous interest. The people on that panel are all experts in their own field.
Yes, indeed. Well, thank you very much, Bill, for keeping us informed here in Spain. We'll talk at the same time next week.
It's been a pleasure, Howard. Have a good week. Look forward to speaking to you next week.